Good afternoon. This is Harry Marble, and again today it is my great pleasure to present a beautiful young actress now starring in The 7 Year Itch, presenting her by transcription today since this is matinee day. Her name, Miss Vanessa Brown.
Hi, Harry.
Hello, Vanessa.
Well, the wheel of our day spins so fast, it's Wednesday already, and it seems we've just begun this week. We've gone from cheesecake to Shakespeare and to beauty. That's our topic for today.
Beauty. Well, that's a lovely topic.
Harry, before we start, a word from our sponsor.
All right. I should like, first of all, to go on a little shopping trip.
When you want to save money and be in style, shop at Hearn's, it's worth your while. When you're looking for values, you'll find more at any Hearn's department store. At Hearn's, at Hearn's, at H-E-A-R-N-S, Hearn's.
Have you shopped at Hearn's lately? The new policy offers remarkably low 14th Street prices in every department. And tomorrow is sale day at Hearn's. Record-smashing sales. All timely merchandise at prices guaranteed 20% below present prices. Don't miss this wonderful sale.
When you want to save money and be in style, shop at Hearn's, it's worth your while. When you're looking for values, you'll find more at any Hearn's department store. At Hearn's, at Hearn's, at H-E-A-R-N-S, Hearn's.
Visit the new Hearn's complete department stores in Manhattan, 14th Street at 5th Avenue, other stores in the Bronx and Bay Shore. Manhattan and Bronx stores open Thursday night to 9 p.m. Now, I don't know of anything after a shopping trip on a lovely warm spring day like this, anything that goes any better than a nice cool bottle of Coke. It's a natural.
Coke in the bottle.
Naturally.
Coke is the natural. Yes, sirree. So everybody get yourself a bottle of Coke. A nice cold, ice cold bottle of Coke. Refreshing and delicious for the whole family. Cause Coke's a natural. Yes, sirree.
Refreshing and delicious for the whole family. That's right. There's just nothing like Coke in the bottle for a family treat. Coke's a natural. Because Coke is a natural drink. A pure, wholesome, quality drink that the whole family can enjoy. Grown-ups and youngsters, too. You know, Coke's an exclusive blend of delicious, natural flavorings brought from all over the world. There's not a drop of imitation coloring or flavoring in Coca-Cola. It's pure as sunlight. You can taste the difference. So let the whole family enjoy Coke. Enjoy it together. Buy Coke by the case or cartons so you'll always have plenty on hand. Coke's a natural.
Coke in the bottle, naturally.
And now, Vanessa Brown, did you say we were going to talk about beauty today?
Yes.
Wonderful.
I thought it would be very appropriate to talk of beauty on radio. Nah, Harry, get that leer out of your eyes.
I know what you mean, and I agree with you.
Harry, beauty has changed in particulars, I think, not in essence. In other words, the little things have changed.
You relieve my mind when you say it has not changed in essence, Vanessa, because
it hasn't.
I don't think it has.
No,
either.
It hasn't. Of course, these little things, these particulars, when we look at them today, let's say of 50 years ago, they look ridiculous to us. I promised you I had some old red books of 1905, and I promised I'd bring them in and show you some of these. At the back of the book, they have Parisian fashion models, and I think our listeners might be interested in how they described some of these fashions in 1905.
You mean that issue is a red book of 1905?
1905. This one is dated January 1905.
Heavenly day, that's a long time ago. You know.
Well, and if you look at the pictures, they're really funny. But later on, I want to show you some things that remain the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, underneath this Parisian fashion model from life, it says,
yes.
Streaked costume of violet. The jacket trimmed with velour and soutache braid. Well, the words
what
they
is
use.
What is the soutache braid?
Soutache braid. That was a kind of braid that they applied on a lot of these costumes.
I see.
And it's a symbol of the time.
Yeah.
And also the color violet.
Yeah.
If it were used today, they wouldn't call it violet.
No, they'd have some very fancy name. Yes, I love this next picture here, too. That's a charmer. Isn't she lovely?
Oh, your type, huh?
My type. The afternoon costume of black and cream. They would never call that cream either, would they?
Oh,
that would
have a fancy. Beige.
Yeah, black and cream striped goods. The corsage is trimmed with velvet. Corsage. Yeah. I don't see any flowers on that gal. What do you mean corsage?
See, there's another thing. Corsage, sometimes it's still called that, but generally it's bodice of a dress.
Oh, bodice is corsage.
Bodice, corsage.
It's changed considerably, too, hasn't it?
She looks very nice, and if the words weren't so old-fashioned, you'd think it was almost modern. But the words underneath this evening costume are black spangled mousseline, and the corsage trimmed with Venetian lace. Or the mousseline, you don't use
mousseline,
so much.
No.
See, we've got all on, we've got all these new materials now, and that, of course, is the day's, this was the day's all on.
Yes, mousseline was the Orlon of his day. Another thing I never hear anymore, and this will date me sure as fate, Vanessa, but crepe de chine. Did they used to use a lot of crepe de chine?
Crepe de chine, an awful lot of it. There's an awful lot of materials which we don't use anymore.
Now everybody knows how old I am, don't they?
Oh, Harry, you might have looked
care.
At my magazine. Harry, at the beginning of the book, there are these glamour stars of the day. Maxine Elliott, Lillian Russell. And the thing that's interesting about these pictures is that, you know, today the symbol of a woman, beautiful girl, she's always smiling with her teeth right open, you know, white,
yes,
white teeth.
Yes, these girls
and
are
most
not.
Of the, no, closed mouth. Well, sentimental and soft, but closed lips. The lips are smaller than ours, but look at the eyes, and the eyes are the same.
Still, your eyes still function, focus on their eyes.
The eyes, I think, are the things that have remain the same, and of course they say the eyes are the mirror of the soul, and therefore, Harry, the soul has remained unchanged and unfathomable.
The company
as ever. I think I've discovered one of the secrets of beauty, and it's this importance of attaining a calm serenity, a peace within yourself. Of course, how to attain it, that's the question each of us has to solve for ourselves. Personally, I love to dance by myself. I love to dance to music barefoot, with maybe carry a sheer piece of mousseline around, and if there's a light on, then it plays on the wall.
Well, great machine, and wouldn't I know it after seeing you in the 7-year itch that you'd love to dance in your bare feet?
Well, a very well-known popular songwriter named Bernie Wayne wrote an instrumental and called it Vanessa because he knew I loved to dance. Let's play a little of it now for our listeners, Harry.
I'd love to.
Today we have the honor of having as guest one of the country's outstanding plastic surgeons, Dr. Robert Allen Franklin. Dr. Franklin is responsible for several very important innovations and discoveries in this new field, plastic surgery, which has expanded so rapidly since the war. In the July issue of Pageant magazine, you can see a layout of one of his most recent discoveries. Now, we haven't asked him here to talk about that particular operation. We've asked him here to talk generally with us on the relation plastic surgery has to the theater. Dr. Franklin, thank you very much for visiting us today. I realize that you're working on a very tight operating schedule while you are in New York. How often do you come here?
Well, Miss Brown, I'm generally in New York every month, the latter part of the month.
And how long do you stay?
Oh, just about long enough to get lonesome for California.
I see.
Californian at heart, Dr. Franklin.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Franklin, I wanted to ask you, the major part of your practice is in California, and therefore California means only one thing to most of us. It means Hollywood. And Hollywood and plastic surgery, well, we generally think of the old movie queens who have to repair the ravages of time. Now, we're not going to ask you to mention any names, Dr. Franklin, but Harry and I will corner you after the program. But we'd like to know something about the kind of work that you do for the movies.
Well, the problem of beauty and And the movie industry, as you know, is very important because the movies set the standard of beauty for the entire country. Now, with the older and well-established people, these people want to maintain the status quo. They don't want to look differently. They want to remain looking as they did years ago. Their problem is mainly, therefore, a sort of facelifting problem. And these days, for the Hollywood people, we have perfected some very simple operations which only take 20 or 30 minutes to perform in the office and keep these people looking happy, young, and content for many years.
About how long does a facelift last?
Well, it is impossible, of course, to keep a person young forever, but these little operations are effective for about 10 to 15 years, so that a person who is 40 should certainly keep looking well until they are in their 50s.
And only 20 to 30 minutes for the operation, Doctor.
That's right. These procedures have been modernized, simplified, streamlined, so that not only are they easier to do and quicker, but much more effective than procedures done years ago by older surgeons who didn't have the benefit of World War II experience or the stimulus of the movie industry or show business in general to egg them on to better things.
It is. I've seen some of the older cases where the people look like wax. I mean, the faces are so drawn, so
yes.
tight.
Yes. Well, that is plastic surgery of the 1920s, and it's like comparing a Model T Ford to a new Cadillac. That mm-hmm. is
very interesting.
Of course, the thing is, Harry, that this is a necessity to these people.
Of course. It's very important to them.
Yes. In other words, these guys have to look.
Well, years ago, actors and actresses had a very limited life. Now many of them find that they can take advantage of their name that they have built up and the box office reputation they have built up by continuing in business because they look good enough to keep working.
Yes. Of course, Dr. Franklin is very encouraging to me. It's just the thought of leading men are becoming older men these days. So many of them, I think it's wonderful.
Well, the thing is that these people are so much more interesting when they are older and so much
better.
They've
got the experience, they've got the background. That's quite true.
And holding their appearance does the whole thing, sure.
As long as it looks natural and normal, which is what it does now.
Yes, and then we have the other group of people, the young actor and actress who is trying to break into show business. These people have not been established yet, and they very often fail their screen tests or are turned down by casting directors because their nose is a little bumpy or too long or too bulbous or their ears protrude or they have a certain scar on their face and various other defects which are not conducive to a career because, after all, their face is their fortune and these faces are enlarged many, many times on the motion picture screen. And whatever may not be apparent to the average person certainly does get exaggerated and apparent to the entire audience after these people are filmed and put on the screen.
Sure.
Therefore, these young people have to be made normal or better than normal so that they can go on with their career.
But how long does a nose operation take?
Well, of course, there are many different defects with noses. There are probably no two noses alike. However, most operations to correct the nose generally take from about 5 minutes to 20 minutes. And that, again, is no longer done in the hospital. It's an office procedure, just as you would go to visit your local friendly dentist while you go and visit your plastic surgeon.
Does it hurt as much as the dentist?
Well, my patients tell me it's much more pleasant to visit a plastic surgeon than it is a dentist, and I hope I am not reflecting upon the dental profession.
Oh, no.
No.
We're not reflecting on any profession.
No.
Oh, heaven forbid. Doctor, I wanted to ask you something. Most of the extreme cases, in other words, the real progress that plastic surgery has made has been since World War II. You mentioned that a couple of minutes ago. That is because during the war, They had a great deal to do with the soldiers. Would you tell us a little about your war experience in Canada?
Well, in Canada, we had a large program to rehabilitate people who were brought back from Europe and North Africa. Many of these people were in the Royal Canadian Air Force, and their wound or trouble was concerned with their face. And we were fortunate enough to have facilities to do many, many operations over a long period of time to repair very extensive damage to these boys. And because of the newer discoveries of penicillin and blood transfusions and so forth, we were able to perfect our techniques, whereas in World War One, though I'm not that old, I understand that the plastic surgeons at that time had very few patients to work on because those who were severely injured did not survive because of the lack of ability to have blood transfusions, plasma, and the modern miracle drugs.
One thing furthers another.
That's right. It seems to me, Dr. Franklin, that's perhaps the only good that comes from a war is the constructive progress that's made in medicine, surgery, and things of that kind.
That's right. I heard that you had as patient Jim Thorpe, and this is one name we can mention because he's no longer with us.
No.
Well, Jim was never one who was publicity shy. His life was an open book. And if you recall, some time ago, one of the motion picture studios in Hollywood made a picture called Jim Thorpe, mm-hmm. All-American.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, Jim, although he wasn't a young man anymore and certainly could not play the part of a young man, decided that he was going to go out on personal appearance with the picture. And I suppose make an income that way. However, his face was in very sad condition. Apparently, he had been boxing and playing professional football without a helmet and so forth. And it was quite a major problem to overhaul Jim so that he looked very nice and much younger to further his stage career. But
you did it.
We did it.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It's sort of sad.
Of course, we've talked about the extreme cases. We've talked about the older women and the very young women who want to get into the movies. We've talked about Jim Thorpe, the leading American athlete. We've talked about the war. The bulk of your practice is made up of the rest of the people.
Well, let us say that the average person is the bulk of our practice because, after all, there are only 200 movie stars.
That's
right. And a plastic surgeon, at least a successful one, has a very busy operative day. Therefore, it is the general population of the country who is very interested in plastic surgery, and ordinary girls certainly will want to look as best they can. Anyone who takes pride in their appearance, if their dress is wrinkled or doesn't fit, I'm sure they would get that fixed. If their face is wrinkled or doesn't fit, why, I would think that the face being much more important than anything else, they would have that much pride in their appearance while they're spending all their time putting on lipstick, makeup, and whatnot, which certainly makes anybody facially conscious these days. That all adds up to an interest in surgery. It's not a physical problem. It's psychological. If the person is aware that he or she differs from normal or can be improved, why, they worry about it and they want to be improved. And once they look in the mirror afterwards and know that they look better, why, they feel better, and it clears up a lot of problems they have. Inferiority complexes seem to disappear. Girls who were spinsters seem to get married.
It's funny how it's a
various situation.
It can be a very serious problem,
it's
too.
It's a very serious problem. Apparently, I've heard stories, you know, people who do very badly in their work, and they get an operation done, and they come back and they get promotions. You think it's almost as a direct result of these operations.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Doctor, one thing more before we have to close. I'd like to know, you talked several times about Hollywood setting the standard for beauty and about the beauty standard in America. Would you tell the ladies that are listening, if you've come to any series about beauty and the American woman,
Well, one thing I do notice that Hollywood certainly sets the standard of beauty for the entire country. We have many people come in and say, well, I want to look like this star or that star, depending upon a particular vogue at the moment. Then there are broader overall problems. What we considered beautiful in the 1920s, we don't consider very beautiful in the 1950s. So there is a general shift in art appreciation, although I suppose there are certain things that are basic. There, a really beautiful woman, I think, is always really beautiful, no matter what the time. And I was particularly interested here in New York City to find the excitement in the press over the unveiling of Aphrodite, that famous Greek statue.
And she compares with all of our beauties. That was very wonderful. With the measurements and everything. Yeah. Yes, because the weight was in marble, but the measurements, the measurements were there. Dr. Franklin, tell me something. When you do make a face over, and I'm not talking of the famous people that you have to, you cannot change them. What about the normal people? Do you make them according to a standard, or do you just correct the defect?
I think the logical approach to any of these things is not to remodel a face altogether so that someone looks like someone else, but to approach the problem from a retouching standpoint. Whatever the defect is, why, I think that doing away with that defect makes that person look as he should normally, whereas a person may have a nose that is slightly longer. Why, just shortening that nose will make him look normal. If he has a bump on his nose, why, just remove the bump. If he has a wrinkle or a line, remove that. I don't think the people should.
In other words, retain their individuality.
That's right.
Thanks very much. We all want to retain ours, and thanks very much, Dr. Franklin, for coming to talk to us today.
It's been a great pleasure, Miss Brown.
Dr. Franklin, will you agree with me when I say that there's nothing should be done to Vanessa's face at all?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Miss Brown is just perfect.
I do, too.
Thank you. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thanks for being with us, Dr. Franklin.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Franklin. I realize I made a little mistake. The article about you is in the August issue of Pageant. It's on sale July 10th. That's why I made the mistake. I'm
Shame
sorry.
On you. Oh. Shame on you. You know, I guess most of our listeners know from experience, warm weather calls for iced tea. Because iced tea helps cool you off, perk you up, and give you a lift that you need these lazy, warm spring days. But did you know that the tea you use makes a big difference? That iced tea is only as good as the brand you use. Millions are finding that out, and they're switching to Tetley tea. Yes, in a recent survey in a leading American city, women who drink tea every day voted for Tetley 2-1 over any other brand. Now, why is Tetley tea such a 2-1 favorite? Because it's different, extra delicious. Tetley tea has a richer, fuller flavor, a deeper, more inviting amber color, more friendly stimulation, too, to help carry you through warm, lazy days. So, serve your family iced tea, and when you do, make sure it's Tetley, the famous blend preferred by generations of tea tasters. Today at your grocer's, get Tetley, T-E-T-L-E-Y, Tetley tea, tea bags or packaged tea. And now, Vanessa, our guest for tomorrow.
Our guest for tomorrow is Mr. Spiro Skouras, president of 20th Century Fox. He's a pioneer and a great leader in the field of motion pictures. Mrs. Skouras is going to talk to us about a revolutionary new process in films called CinemaScope and the new Fox sound process that goes with it, as well as what we, the audience, are to expect from films in CinemaScope. I've seen some private demonstrations. It's very exciting.
Sounds wonderful. Join Vanessa Brown and me tomorrow at the same time. We came to you by transcription today. Until tomorrow, thanks for listening and good afternoon.
Stay tuned for Galen Drake. Cerebral palsy is no respecter of persons. It can strike anyone of any age, anywhere, at any time. It's not hereditary. Injury to the motor section of the brain can cause cerebral palsy. Help fight this crippler. Write the United Cerebral Palsy Fund, 50 West 57th Street, New York. This is New York, WCBS, AM and FM.